PlayStation VR's release date and price have been announced, and it seems like it's a price that'll be more attainable. Plus, Microsoft put the ball in Sony's court with regards to online play. Tonight is March 20th, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments. It's up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeripe from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Bob Barker says, spay and neuter your pets. Should get it done. Even if they never go outside, or the only other cats they ever meet are already snipped, should spay or neuter your pets. That's your message. So good night, everybody. No, actually, hello and welcome to the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us here tonight at live.vognetwork.com, that's the chat room here at the Voice of Geeks Network. I know I said that backwards. Whatever. You can join us and read intelligent comments from chat, and I'll be trying to read them. Reading them all night. Or if you are logged into the site, you can check in just like ActDeft and PodCulture. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. They got some points on the March leaderboard. You can listen for a passphrase somewhere in the episode. Put that in on the site, and then you can get the same amount of points. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me in the comments section here at vognetwork.com. You go to the comments section of this episode. You can actually see all the links that I talk about, so you can check my work and tell me if I'm wrong, which sometimes happens. We're going to go ahead and start off. You can go ahead and start drinking because Game Developer Conference was this week. A lot of information about all the VR headsets came out. I'm going to talk about one of them right now. And it was the big one, the one that announced all the news that we cared about. And that's Sony's PlayStation VR. It used to be called Project Morpheus. And they finally announced that it's coming out in October of this year. So not Q1 or the first half of the year, like they said earlier. But it is going to be $399. They did this very short, very succinct, to the point, 10-15 minute press conference, announcing that October, $399, and that's all you're going to need to get your PS4 on into virtual reality. Well, it's not all you're going to need, but they're actually using a lot of existing hardware that's out there. So the PlayStation VR, it uses the camera that launched with the PlayStation 4 and two Move controllers, not the navigation part, but just the Move controllers from the PlayStation 3 that have the little light balls on the end and stuff like that. So that's what it uses to do the tracking, because there's the same kind of light that's on the front of the PlayStation 4 DualShock controller. Exists on the headset, and so that's how it actually does your motion tracking. And a lot of people already have this, which is why they say, yeah, it's going to be $399 for the headset, because a lot of people already have the hardware, the added hardware needed, because they may have bought Move controllers years ago for the PS3, or they bought the camera when the PS4 came out so they could stream on Twitch. And then they said, a day later, after everybody's like, yes, this is great, this is awesome, and they went to eBay and bought PlayStation 4 cameras and Move controllers for really cheap, Sony's like, wait a minute, there's money to be made here. There's money that we're losing. So they said, all right, we're going to launch pre-orders this coming Tuesday. So this coming Tuesday, I'm really talking about the U.S. I think it's different. Like, pre-orders are already open in other parts of the world. But in the U.S., And they even mentioned that the reason that it was $399 for the base unit was because a lot of people already had the camera and the Move controller. But since they realized that people are going to want this thing day one, and they were losing money to eBay or used game stores where people sold their PS3 Move controllers years ago, now back in style, they're like, wait a minute, we need to get that money somehow. So what they're doing is they have a $499 bubble or bundle that has the controller, that has the Move heads, controllers, has the VR headset, the two Move controllers, and the camera, and like a PlayStation Worlds game and the PlayStation VR demo disc, all that stuff for $499. And that's what you can pre-order on Tuesday. Will you be able to pre-order the $399 base version? No, you will not. So you will have to fight everybody on the day it comes out, hoping you can get the base version. You are not going to be able to pre-order the version without the camera and the controllers. And that's how they're going to get your money. They're going to make you, people who really, really want it, on day one, and they already own a camera and a Move controller, well, guess what? Now you're going to get a spare camera, and you're going to get two more Move controllers. And Kaijudo wants to point out that Bobby was wrong. He said the PlayStation VR was going to cost more than the Rift, and you're absolutely right, I did. And so I am going to sit here, and I hope Kaijudo hears me say this. You're right, I was wrong. I was going on the information that was being leaked out by retail partners that I that are usually very reliable when that gets leaked out. And also going by what you know, they were saying when they were designing it, that they were not designing it to be a cost of, you know, of a low cost device. They were designing it to be another console. They were able to get it down to $400. So kudos to them. And that is a great great deal for what they want to do. Especially if you're willing to not, if you're willing to not have it on day one and wait for you to be able to find one on store shelves, if you already have the camera and the controllers, you know, that it is kudos to them. And I think this will actually be the entry point for a lot of people for high-end grade virtual reality. I'm not talking, I consider like Google Cardboard and the Gear VR to be low grade, because, you know, it's, especially Google Cardboard's like $15, and it's a completely different experience than using one of the high grade systems. And I consider PlayStation VR a high grade, you know, one of the higher grades. And I think this is going to be the entry point. And why that's probably going to be good is because the PlayStation Store and the titles that are going to work on it are going to be extremely curated. And so they're all going to work wonderfully because they're going to be designed for the PlayStation 4. So you're not going to have issues of, you know, it's not going to run as well on your system as it does on somebody else's and all that stuff. So in terms of stability and introducing people in a way that it doesn't get them sick, PlayStation VR is going to be that. Now, it's still expensive. I mean, it's still $400 or $500. So it's not cheap. But it is priced at the point that people were saying, yes, this is when I can jump in. Breakman asks, what just happened? Did Bobby just say Kaijudo was right? I think I just died inside. Breakman, you're going to die again. I'm going to reiterate. Kaijudo factually pointed out that I was wrong in my prediction that PlayStation VR was going to cost more than the Rift. So we actually did get a comment about this because Obi-Wan Jabroni knew we were going to be talking about this. So I'm going to kind of go through his comment and talk about what I think about this. He says, because we're going to be talking about PlayStation VR in the episode, here's something funny. So this is a comment from Obi-Wan Jabroni over at VogNetwork.com on the episode page, last week's episode page. On Amazon UK, if you go onto the product page for PlayStation VR, people are already posting reviews for something that's not even out yet, just to argue. The reviews are still there at the time of posting this comment. But do you think Amazon should allow people to post reviews of products that aren't out yet? Asking questions is fine, but really reviews. No, I don't. And I think they've already kind of done things where if something's coming out soon, they don't allow people to review it. And I think because in Amazon, and this is kind of techie, and this is kind of my assumption of how things work. So I could be wrong, Kaijudo, when I say this. So I'm going to preface with that. That I think because the PlayStation VR was labeled as out of stock or temporarily unavailable, reviews were open. When a product is coming soon, that's when they don't allow reviews. When it has a release date and that release date has not happened yet, then, you know, the reviews can happen. But PlayStation VR, even on the U.S. site, had reviews on it. I did see that. But it was called the item was listed as temporarily unavailable, out of stock. So according to Amazon, it had already released, or according to the website, the program underneath, it had already released and they just didn't have any in. So that's why reviews are supposed to be coming up. But if something is labeled as coming out in the future, you cannot review it. They don't let you. He says, as for me, I'm still on the fence about PlayStation VR. I have a PlayStation Move controller from last generation, but I never got the camera for the PS4. Well, good news, there's a bundle, and you need two Move controllers. I'm hoping there's a bundle with the camera at a slight discount. Well, there is. The bundles I've seen so far in retailers, they just bundle the camera in or charging full price for it. Well, this comment was written before they announced the actual bundle. Speaking of retailers, Game wants a £100 deposit, but if you pre-order online, they don't want anything weird. In the U.S., I think they are saying $100 deposit for things. Some questions from Obi-Wan Jabroni. How are you feeling about PlayStation VR? Do you think it has potential? I think it has very good potential to be an entry point with AAA titles and you know, kind of the name brand recognition and an entry point to get people into people's homes. I think it has a great potential at that, especially because all PS4s are the same, which I'm going to tell myself I'm wrong in about 5 minutes when I get to that story, so spoiler alert. You know, everything's going to be designed for it, and it's just going to work. And that's what the entry point for VR needs, and I think this is going to be a wonderful entry point. He asks, I wear glasses for gaming. Would PSVR be okay? I am the person, one person in the world apparently, who has been able to wear his glasses underneath every single VR headset that he owns. The first dev kit where they said, don't wear your glasses, I wore my glasses with it just fine. The Gear VR where they say, don't wear your glasses with it, I wore my glasses with it just fine. All the consumer version of the PC headsets, both the Rift and the Vive, are specifically made to work underneath glasses. So you can wear your glasses. I assume the PlayStation VR would be exactly the same. So, yes, you're going to be fine because I'm going to be fine, and I'm going to wear my glasses. The only thing you really have to worry about, because I do demo the Oculus Rift, the second dev kit, still, and I tell people to take off their glasses, even though I wear my glasses underneath. The thing you'll just have to worry about with all these headsets is that there is a risk of scratching the lenses. And when I say the lenses instead of just your lenses, I'm talking about either the lenses on your glasses or the lenses inside the VR headset. So as long as you are careful putting it on and off, and you can actually adjust the distance of the lenses from your eyes, you're going to be fine. That was the biggest issue that people were finding, was that it might scratch your lens, because you really want the VR lenses as close to your eyes as possible, and that gives you the widest field of view. He asks, this might be too early to say, but will you be developing games for PlayStation VR? No. And I'll tell you why. Because in order to develop games for PlayStation VR, you need a PlayStation 4 dev kit, and you need a PlayStation 4 developer license, which costs thousands and thousands of dollars, and I will stick to the PC versions where I don't need to get a license to develop for it. Will the VOG site have VR features in the future? You know, I actually looked at this. There was a guy making, he called it Firebox at the time, but he changed the name, I think, to Janus VR, where you went to web pages and they rendered virtual reality environments. Unfortunately, his initial vision was actually rendering existing web pages and having them in a virtual reality environment. And it was kind of neat. You would, like, go through, you know, the web page link would be a door. You'd walk through the door and it would render the page. And then he kind of went away and said, no, we just want people to deliver VR rooms using an HTTP address. And so he kind of went away from I'm going to render web pages in virtual reality to I'm going to use the web protocol, the World Wide Web protocol, to deliver VR content. And so if there is something, I think like Firefox, I think Mozilla actually has a VR mode for Firefox they're working on. And if they have some kind of VR mode that we can go in, I mean, VRML used to exist in the 90s, so I don't think we're going to use that. But if there's some way to do it, I think it'd be cool to have like a version of the VOG Network site that works in a virtual reality room. I think that would be kind of cool. Breakman asks, what would VOG VR even be, just walking around Sky's house? It'd be something like, you know, we'd have a, you know, it would render a room or something, and there would be a radio in the center, and that would show you the radio, and there would be on the wall the schedule. And then you could walk into other rooms, and those would be our various podcast episodes. And you could listen to past podcasts in that room, and maybe one of those rooms is Sky's house. I don't know. And then he says, finally, are you happy to be reading a show comment out since no one posts them all that much? It's fine when nobody – sometimes it's my fault that nobody posts them because the episode – the podcast doesn't get uploaded until like a day before the next show. So it's my fault. So I don't blame anybody else. But yeah, so the PlayStation VR, it's going to be really neat. They've got a cinematic mode, which is going to allow you to play your existing games. It's basically going to put a huge TV in front of you, big screen, and you can play your existing games. You can watch Netflix on it. You can watch movies. Do anything that your PlayStation 4 can do. Play any game in that big room. So you're going to be able to use the PSVR as a second screen. So if somebody else is on the TV watching something, you can now play a game just on a big virtual TV and PlayStation VR and be just fine. So I had said, and SSJ100 Matt says, if nobody posts a show comment, then it defaults to Bobby being right. So I said something about 5 minutes ago that I knew was going to be wrong. I'm going to prove myself wrong. I said, everybody's PS4 is the same. Well, if we learned anything from Microsoft when they said that you know, they may want to do some upgradable consoles, that may be changing. And Kotaku has reported that Sony is currently planning a new version of the PlayStation 4 with increased graphical power and games running at 4K resolution, developer sources have told Kotaku. They don't know whether the current PS4 owners will be able to upgrade or if they'll have to buy an entirely new device to benefit from the power boost. But from what we hear, Sony has started briefing developers. So this is kind of at the very early stages of, hey, developers, we're going to have upgraded hardware. Based on conversation with developers who have spoken with Sony, this PS4.5 will include an upgraded GPU, both to support high-end 4K resolution for games and add more processing power that can enhance the game supported by PlayStation VR. It's unclear if PS4.5 is an official name or just a nickname that developers have been using. One developer jokingly called it the PS4K while telling Kotaku about the device. I like PS4K better. I actually like that name, but I like that name. I think this idea sucks, but I like that name. At 4K resolution is around 4 times the pixel size of 1080p, which is the current standard for games on PlayStation 4. Xbox One still renders some games at 720p, and the internet is very upset about this. The current PS4 can output 4K photos and videos, but cannot support 4K resolutions for games. With this upgrade, it would. Besides resolutions, developers could have an opportunity to push more effects and other graphical tweaks to make their games look better, thanks to the new GPU. So even if you don't have a 4K TV, you could benefit from the added graphical horsepower. So I did mention, you know, Microsoft. We had a story, I think, a couple weeks ago that Microsoft said, you know, hey, we're going to treat Xbox Ones like a platform and have upgradable ones and have them be backwards compatible with each other but have new versions and, you know, kind of like the 3DS. And he kind of walked back on that a little bit. Phil Spencer did an interview with the Major Nelson podcast, which is the in-house podcast of Microsoft Xbox, by the way. And he actually said, quote, am I going to break open my console and start upgrading individual pieces of my console? That's not our plan. There's something special about what happens with a console. You buy an appliance-like device, you plug it into your TV, it works when you plug it in. It's not like I'm going to ship a screwdriver set with every console that comes out. What I'm saying is, as hardware innovations happen, we want to be able to embrace those in the console space and make those available and maybe not have to wait 7 or 8 years for things to happen. But right now, we're not announcing hardware, unquote. And Fifth Dream says, okay, if regular games and movies play on PlayStation VR, I want one now. Will Blu-rays play on PlayStation VR? I would assume so, but don't quote me on that because I know that that's a whole other bag of worms. But maybe because Sony is on the Blu-ray consortium, they gave themselves the ability to make VR playback work on Blu-rays. That would be neat. And, I mean, I think it would be neat if it would play 3D Blu-rays in virtual reality, so you don't have to have a 3D TV, and you can watch the 3D Blu-rays in the VR headset. SJ Wonderman says, opportunity is the key word here about the PS4K, which is what I'm going to call it. Doesn't mean the developers will push it to 4K. It's like asking devs to throw something extra that they don't have to throw in. It'll give them more ability to do other things. They could still run games at 1080p and do more stuff with it. Direclaw says, I can't wait till the day comes out when you buy a game and it runs like crap on your current gen console, forcing you to buy the add-on to make it run better, like the N64 expansion pack, or like the new 3DS, where Smash Brothers runs better on the new 3DS than it does on ye old busted 3DS. So it's going to be very interesting. I am probably going to pre-order the bundle just so I can have it sooner, because, you know, and I'm sitting here justifying, I'm like, I should wait. Financially, I should wait, but I'm not a strong person. I'm very weak. And I'm like, oh, I can have an extra camera as a spare just in case I want to, like, take my PS4 somewhere, and that way I don't have to detach the camera from my TV. I can just unplug it and then plug in the spare camera wherever else I'm taking it. And then I've got two extra Move controllers just in case I need them. So I'm kind of like talking myself into it. So here's the thing: Sony's marketing worked. They did it because they realized they were leaving money on the table, and they're taking my money. I'm so sorry. I realize I am the problem. It's my fault. ActF says on the 3DS, Hyrule Warriors Legends doesn't run as well on the old 3DS. Smash Brothers just starts up quicker on the new 3DS, apparently. And Smash Brothers, you can actually like go to the 3DS menu, I guess, on the new 3DS. And you can't do that in the old and busted 3DS. Breakman says, I'm Bobby Sony Wolf. Yes, I guess that's exactly what it is. But let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about something Microsoft announced. Microsoft announced something that's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. TechCrunch reports that Microsoft has just announced that game developers can now create cross-platform multiplayer modes that work on other consoles and operating systems. So basically what they're kind of saying here is that we are no longer going to force you to only play people that are on Xboxes. This was something they tried earlier on. If you remember Shadowrun, it was Shadowrun on the Xbox 360, and it also had Shadowrun on the PC, and those people could play each other. It was actually a first-person shooter, even though it's like a tabletop RPG. It was a first-person shooter. And it turned out, like, in their tests, that, pro-level gamers on console using the controller were getting smoked by mediocre gamers using a keyboard and mouse. So they stopped. They said, no, we're not going to make that happen because it's unfair to the console players. And now they're kind of saying, well, we need to do something with Windows 10. So now Xbox One and Windows 10 can play each other. And then they finally said, now you can actually have cross. It doesn't matter where they are. It's up to the developers now. Which is why, you know, like Final Fantasy 14 wasn't on the Xbox One, because Microsoft forced everybody to stay inside the Xbox ecosystem online. They're walking that back now. The first game that is going to support cross-platform multiplayer is Rocket League. Microsoft mentions cross-platform multiplayer between the Xbox One and Windows, but you can also expect support for PlayStation gamers as well, given that the current version of Rocket League supports cross-platform multiplayer between PlayStation 4 and PC. So it's like, you know, you get one and the other. We don't know yet about how developers are going to deal with duplicated PlayStation Network and Xbox Live screen names like mine. For PC games that were using Microsoft's online framework, the Universal Windows platform we were talking about a couple weeks ago, these games will also work with other operating systems such as OS X. And finally, Xbox players will be able to restrict multiplayer modes to other Xbox players only, which would, you know, if you don't want to deal with keyboard and mouse people in your first-person shooter, that may be why you would do that. This is brilliant. Okay? Because this is a win-win for Microsoft in terms of PR, because they've effectively launched the ball into Sony's court. Now, Sony's already kind of said, yes, we're going to open up online play between our console and PC, because Street Fighter V is PS4 and PC. And I think that Street Fighter V is only on PS4 because they wanted that, and Microsoft said no. Microsoft wouldn't let there be dual play. Now Microsoft's turning back. So it's kind of interesting because now either Sony will open up their online play explicitly with Xbox Live, which is a win for Microsoft, because then they get all that many more people, and people will maybe buy the Xbox One version instead of the PS4 version because they're still going to be able to play with their friends on PS4. Or Sony says no and looks like the bad guy. And Microsoft can say, what? We opened the door. We wanted them in, and they said no. So Microsoft's late to the game a little bit because Sony already kind of embraced this with Street Fighter V and, you know, Final Fantasy XIV and things like that. But at least Microsoft's joining the party now. And it should be a good thing for consumers. Because now, if you have friends on an Xbox One and you hate Microsoft with a passion, you could still play with your friends on your PS4 if the developer allows it. Like Electronic Arts, they have their whole EA system, and you can tie a Xbox gamer tag and a PlayStation username to it and stuff. So they already kind of have the functionality in place on their end to be able to handle something like this. Other developers would have to develop some more integrations, but it can be done. And now Microsoft will allow it to be done. Wasn't a technical reason before. It was all political. DC Nate, and by the way, you could guess what the DC stands for, says, Dreamcast played against PC people in Unreal Tournament back in the day. And Breakman says that Microsoft was fashionably late to the party. Yes. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to come back and take your calls. I haven't taken calls in a while. So you can talk to me, ask questions about virtual reality if you want, or non-virtual reality stuff. We can talk about all that, or anything else that maybe came out at GDC that I missed, because it's really not a place for media appointment or media news, so I don't cover it as much. But we'll be right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Basta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
And you're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Hey, that's me. I haven't even played Mass Effect. Hello, and welcome back. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to have this be your favorite podcast on the Citadel, but it helps. It absolutely does help. All you got to do is send a bumper, an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number, which I'm opening up right now. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and ask about anything. Anything going on in the gaming industry at this time. There's a lot going on. Things are coming out. Things are getting exciting. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Lyric. One thing that is while I'm waiting for calls, if somebody's going to call in, there was a call or there was a question from Raginator early on when we were talking about the PlayStation VR, and it wasn't appropriate to answer then because I kind of wanted to stay on the Sony talk. Because he's got a new PC, and he says, you know, giving what you know about my system, which I really didn't memorize your system, I'm sorry. All I need is a new graphics card and I'd be ready. Well, I can't answer that question. I'm not going to answer that question, even if you call in and tell me your specs. Here's why. Go to Steam, get on your Steam account, and if you go to the Steam VR page or the Vive page, there actually is a benchmark test that Steam has released for the Vive. And what it does is it'll go through your computer and it will run some benchmarks and tell you if you are ready for VR. And if you are not ready for VR, it will tell you what you need to upgrade. If it's your graphics card, which you already know you have to upgrade your graphics card, but it will also check your CPU, it'll check your memory, and it'll check, I think, the speed of your hard drive and stuff like that. So it will tell you if you're ready or not. And so I would say get that. It's free. Run it, and it will tell you all that you need. You already know you need a new graphics card, but I don't know if you're going to need a new CPU or memory because I don't know it that well off the top of my head. So that was that comment. And also, I kind of wanted to bring this up because it kind of struck a chord with me since I'm still waiting for calls. And there was actually a Twitter post by somebody who doesn't listen to the show. He's been on the show before. But it was a Twitter post because everybody was talking about PlayStation VR. And he's got a little tired of a lot of the big-name journalists covering VR so much. Which I am not a big-name journalist, but I am also very guilty of covering VR so much. And it's the quote that he kind of had was, it's okay for you to be excited about it, but don't forget that the majority of your audience are lower to middle lower class in financials, and they can't afford it. And it kind of, I was like, you know, that's absolutely true, because I don't think the majority of people that listen to this show can afford the VR stuff right now, and I've been talking about it nonstop for 3 years. And I can't forget that plenty of people are still going to be playing monitor games. And plenty of people are still going to be, you know, playing, you know, just standard games like everything else that we have been for many years, because it's they're very expensive devices to get in there right now. So I'm going to endeavor to talk a little bit less about it after, like, when the things come out, I'm going to devote time to them. And that's just fair warning, you know, and they're coming out next month. So when the Rift and the Vive come out, I'm going to devote a lot of time to telling you what about them and talking about them, because they excite me and that's what the show is about. But I'm going to try real hard to not become a VR podcast. And William Murderface says, I kind of agree with him, but if someone does that to a level I consider inappropriate, I just stop listening to them. It's that simple. And I don't want you to stop listening to me. So I am going to endeavor, you know, other than when, like, big news happens or when they come out, because I'm getting them both, and when I'm in October when I get the PSVR, you know, other than that, I'm going to try my hardest. And you may need to call me out on it if I do a bad job, and please do. But I'm going to try my hardest to still really have a main focus on games that most people can afford, for lack of a better term. Games that you play on a TV or a monitor, or games that you play with a regular controller, or in your handheld, or on your phone, and stuff. And Dungeon Best says, I don't mind the VR talk. There are angles to it that I like to be informed about. And I'll try to work that in, but I don't want to become a VR podcast. There are many wonderful VR podcasts out there. Reverend Kyle, who we had on the show very early on in this whole revolution thing, he's like now like one of the standards. And he's like one of the biggest names in the VR community because of his podcast. And he's done over, I think, like he just released like episode 117. And he does great work because he actually has developers on and stuff. So if you want a really good VR podcast, go there. There are a bunch of other great VR podcasts. And I'm going to try not to be one. I want to be one that talks about it sometimes, especially if there's an interesting angle to take. You know, I know that, you know, No Man's Sky is going to be a great topic and everybody can play that because it's not going to be in VR. Breakman says, I like hearing about it, but I don't want to call in and talk about something that I am completely uninformed about. And I thank you. I thank you. Dungeon Buster says, yay, No Man's Sky, let's talk about that. I wish there was more I could talk about with it. I'm looking forward to it. I've got my pre-order in. We do have a call here on the line, so we'll go ahead and take it. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Act Deft, what's up, man?
I need to remember to turn on my microphone.
That would be, yes, that would be prudent.
Yeah. But anyways, talking about, the comment that you got on Twitter.
Well, to be fair, I didn't get it. He just was talking about this generally. So he was not addressing me personally.
Well, I know the what he's talking about and all that. I personally cannot afford a gaming machine or even right now a PlayStation 4 and VR. Mm-hmm. I don't have the $800 or $900 to buy it. I need to get a car first, but
that's more important.
Yeah.
It's way more important.
But I still can listen to news or read news about VR because mm-hmm. it's exciting stuff. It's mm-hmm. it's new technology. It's like listening a blog about technology and they're talking about the iPhone 7. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get an iPhone 7. I'm an Android guy, especially.
Yeah.
But I can still get excited about the news, or at least know what it's going to get or what it's going to have.
Yeah.
And I do especially because I don't use Macs at all. And I still watch the conferences and watch all the news about Mac stuff. Mm-hmm. and Apple.
Yeah.
So I don't get why, in this case, anybody cannot talk about VR. Yeah, it's going to be expensive like any new technology out there, but if it gets cheaper, like you have said many times before, mm-hmm. it's, well, we can look for it in the future.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, his point is also, don't forget where you came from. And most people are still there. You know, people are still playing monitor games, and I need to remember that. This is more me also telling myself to remember to, you know, not go whole hog on just becoming a VR podcast. You know, just like I wouldn't want to go whole hog and becoming an Apple podcast. So
that's true. That you need to have balance on what you talk about. And yeah, you can talk about, or you need to talk about stuff like you were talking about No Man's Sky or maybe new games in the future that they're gonna be played on either portables or monitors and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you can still talk about VR. It's not like you're prohibited about talking about it.
But I'm gonna try to limit it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm gonna talk about when they come out, and then, you know, new things will happen. And then we'll be all talking about NX. Then we'll all be talking about No Man's Sky, and then, you know, the world's going to end because No Man's Sky is going to be the last thing we'll ever need.
Yeah, and that's the point. Like a new console that nobody is going to probably afford, at least at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You can still talk about that new console. So
yeah,
that's the point I'm trying to make with this.
Yeah.
That there's new technology coming mm-hmm. every year or every 6 months even.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something inevitable, but yeah, you can balance all the topics you can talk about and all the stuff.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, especially because I only get a 1 hour a week, so I kind of need to. So that's kind of why I was saying
that's true.
You know. But I mean, everything's coming out in the next couple weeks on the PC side. Like my new desktop comes Tuesday. I've already got my new monitor for it. And you know, so everything should be coming in the first week of April, depending on when I get things. So it's going to be on the show for a while, but it's not going to be there forever. So if somebody wants to tune out for the next month, that's totally fine. I'll be back to talking about regular gaming topics after a month.
Yeah, I'll still be listening, too.
That's good. I hope you do. So so what have you been playing recently?
I've been playing – been playing in Splatoon since the Splatfest was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And and something curiously, because they changed how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So many people actually kind of liked it, but also other people kind of hated it. So it was kind of divided.
Mm-hmm.
It works right now. Since the last update, since they changed the matchmaking a bit, It now works and based how you're ranked in the Splatfest. So if you do good, you'll be facing better players. Mm-hmm. But if you're bad or you're doing bad, you'll be facing weaker players or weaker teams. But for me, it wasn't like huge improvement. It felt kind of the same. Mm-hmm. At least it changed, and I think the majority of people liked it. But yeah, there was a kind of huge vocal minority about it against it.
There's always a vocal minority.
Yeah.
For everything.
Other than that, I have a huge backlog of games. I have Twilight Princess HD right now, and also I got Ocarina of Time 3D since it got the re-release.
Right.
So yeah, I have a tons of Zelda to play too, and
that's good.
And lots of games that are coming out now. Pokken, I forgot about that. I haven't gotten it yet, but it's on the way.
Right.
But yeah, there's gonna be a tournament too next week here and locally, and I'm probably gonna enter it. So hopefully I'll do great.
Yeah, well, good luck on that. And if you win, let us know. If you lose, you're disgraced, and we'll never hear from you again.
Yeah, I'll vanish from Bog.
Yes, it's all in your hands. All this is on your shoulders.
I'll try to win.
Perfect. Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, like always.
So that's it for tonight. That's all the calls we're going to take tonight. Coming up next in here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for much, much longer than I do. We didn't get a chance to talk to them last week because my interview went all the way up until the end, but we're checking with them now. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So did you learn any new words last week?
After the interview? Well, you know what's funny? Actually, I saw, you know how Google News will kind of curate your feed and show you stories that you might be interested in? Once in a while, it'll show me a video game story, and there was actually a story from some random, and I don't know, this came up on my Google News feed. It was on like a Kentucky news station website that actually was about your pals that you had on the show last week and the language that they made up for Far Cry. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of awesome.
Yeah, so here's some fun stuff about that.
Oh?
Is that we probably, like, the reason Ubisoft didn't get back to us is because they wouldn't have let us do that interview.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was an open format. And that scares them. No live interviews.
Right, which is, you know, they wanted something a little more closed, like E3.
That, and we were, I think he said that we were like the fourth outlet from the U.S. that talked to them.
Interesting.
All their press was Canada or a lot of German. Huh. Like he was like saying, yeah, it was like the equivalent of the New York Times in Germany, like whatever that is. Like he didn't know what it was either. He just said that. And they were like on the front page in Germany.
Oh, that's awesome.
Talking about that. So like they're like big names everywhere else in the world. And like I'm the fourth U.S. person to talk to them.
I was told that I don't know if this is true or not. It could be a load. Years before I did radio, I actually had a public access TV show in high school, and heaven help me if any of you ever find clips from it. I think Jamie might have seen it at one point. I don't remember.
I've seen some.
Yeah. But apparently it aired in Japan somehow, like a bootleg or something. Like somebody bootlegged a bunch of stuff from our local public access, and it like aired in Japan.
Oh, wow.
So there's still hope.
That's what I was told, yeah. So it's always kind of funny that it's like, oh, you might have like people in Japan that have seen you.
So Ikuma JP should start going to bootleg, you know, places that sell bootlegs and see if we can find this old VHS tape.
You never know. You never know what you might find. Of course, you wouldn't even recognize me because it was I was using my real name, and I have a, you know, I looked a lot younger. I didn't have the beard or anything, so you probably wouldn't even notice.
Extra ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So big news this week about PlayStation VR. It's actually affordable.
Yeah, pretty exciting, right? That really surprised me, the price of $399. I mean, granted, I of course, you know, the hidden costs and everything for people that haven't adopted the camera and the Move. But I think what really pleasantly...
And the hidden costs for those that want to pre-order and have adopted the camera and the Move.
Yeah. I have a bad feeling this hardware launch sounds like it's going to be like a Nintendo product, but we'll see. We'll see. But I thought that was really cool that they are supporting the PlayStation 3 Move and didn't put out a Move 2.0 or a new Move, because I think we're just conditioned or used to it in this day and age that any other company really would have put out a new Move that you would have had to get. But I think that's really cool that PlayStation supported their old product that, you know, to be fair, didn't have a lot of early adopters. So, I mean, it had some, but not a lot.
Yeah, the only thing that kind of worries me about that is that, you know, like it wants to use the two Move controllers, so two of those,
right,
but not the navigation controller. And the navigation controller is what has the thumbstick to move.
Interesting.
So, like, you know, because all the it was basically you're going to have two right hands. Because they have the face buttons and like the triggers and stuff on the Move controllers, but like you're not going to have any analog sticks, thumbsticks.
Will it support the PlayStation 4 controller?
Some games will.
Ah, okay. So there's that.
Yeah. So it depends. But like if it's a Move game that uses the Move, how do you move? You know. But that's more of a developer question. How are they going to implement? I think one demo, like you tilt your head forward, and that's how you move.
Yeah. You know, that's it. Now we got to see those key products that are going to make this peripheral worth it. But it sounds like they got a lot in the pipeline. So yeah. I'm excited. I'm going to get it. You know, I kind of had set a price in my mind, and I said if it's X amount or, you know, if it's this or lower, I'll get it. And it is lower than what I was expecting to pay. So
welcome to the VR revolution now.
I suppose. You know, and what's also interesting, we polled our listeners here at OLR on the PlayStation VR this week. And so far, the answers that I'm seeing from people that are going to buy one or not, it seems like anybody who's tried one says, yes, I'm going to buy it. And anyone who hasn't says, I don't see the point.
Right. So
it kind of also shows that I think for Sony to really and mostly, obviously, it's not just black and white like that, but I'm seeing that kind of trend. So I think it also shows that Sony is really going to have to put that product out there and get people to use it and try it to really sell it.
Yeah, and that's the problem with all of the products, because even if somebody's tried a VR device, more than likely it was probably Google Cardboard. Mm-hmm. And if you've just tried Google Cardboard, you don't see the appeal.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's they are going to have to get out there, but also so is the Rift and the Vive. And, you know, luckily there are more meetups and stuff where people can try this stuff all around the country and all around the world. And I think that's what will get people in. And I think Sony being the lowest cost of them all, that's going to be great for them. And it's going to be great for PlayStation VR. As long as it'll work on the PlayStation 4 you already have and not the PS4K.
We'll see if that ends up being a thing or not. But I feel like this is something that's probably been considered previously. It just wasn't something we knew about, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. I can't imagine that they haven't thought about this type of thing before when they've done the, you know, like the PlayStation Lights or even the, you know, even the 360 went through a remodel. And if I remember right, they really did upgrade what was in the 360, but nothing that really impacted the bottom line of the games.
Right.
It was like a faster drive or something. I don't know. Maybe, you know, it wasn't anything
quieter. That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better adapt to handling heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing. No more red lights.
So what do you think about Kotaku maybe going away because it got body slammed?
I don't think it'll go away because, A, there's going to be appeals for years and years and years. And even if it does go away, the people there will just open up shop under a new name, which is, you know, kind of similar to how Polygon got started. So I don't.
And look what they became.
Yeah. So I don't really think, you know, and I, with all the junk that we've given Kotaku over the years, I think they're in a better place now than they probably were 4 years ago when we started a lot of that stuff. But, you know, I don't know how far I want to go down on this topic with the Gawker and the Hulk Hogan thing. But I think it says a lot when you are court ordered to stop and you kind of laugh that in the face. Like, I don't want to say they had it coming, but.
Right.
Not invincible either, so tough lesson learned, I suppose.
SJ100 Matt asked about gaming again. When we tried the PlayStation VR, was it on a dev kit or on a PS4? I think it was a PS4 dev kit, but it might have been an actual PS4.
Yeah, I want to say it was a PS4 dev kit. Either way, it was something definitely for the show. I mean, you've used it more recently than I have, right?
No, I haven't seen it since we saw it together.
Yeah, keep in mind, that was the last E3 we went to, and that was a while ago. That was when they first announced it. So I imagine the hardware was a lot different than what we're...
I think they've redesigned it completely since then.
I think they really have. But I wonder if that little game we saw is in one of the minigame collections.
It's probably, yeah, I think it's in the PlayStation Worlds.
Yeah, I imagine it has to be.
Because they're still using it in their promos.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're still having people lie down and luge down. One thing that I did see that was interesting was that Sony has claimed that little breakout box...
Uh-huh.
Actually doesn't do what we thought it did.
Really?
It actually is for the TV. So the PlayStation 4 is actually generating the VR content. That little breakout box actually separates it back out for the TV.
Oh.
So it's not like you need that little breakout box for PSVR to work.
Also, what's kind of cool, they have that where you can split it, where you can actually set up a separate monitor to see what the person's seeing on the actual headset.
That's what it's actually doing.
Huh.
Because we saw that because, you know, you could have on the TV, it wasn't split or anything. And they said, you know, the breakout box was doing that. But it seems we thought, or at least I thought, that the little breakout box was actually rendering the VR part.
And I thought they told us that.
Right. And I think they've redone it now because they say, no, it's not. All the VR is being rendered on the PS4. The breakout box is to put it back to the TV.
Well, that might explain why it's been a little while. You know, keep in mind, and as Jason says in chat at live.vognetwork.com, E3 2014 was already a lifetime ago.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm sure some stuff changed in the design since then. But that was a really cool team that we met. I'm happy for.
Yeah. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, it has been a very busy week out of GDC, but there's also, you know, rumors and scuttlebutt happening with the NX controller that possibly been unearthed. And I think a lot of us have some strong opinions out that, so we'll be talking about that. And huge, huge, huge news out of Microsoft's camp. Finally, one of the things that may have cost them Street Fighter V, they are remedying. So we're going to
About that earlier, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see how that plays out over the coming months.
Yeah. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, for Twitter, @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit questions via my website here at VogNetwork.com in the comments section of the episode where I show all the links that I talk to. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Soccer, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Ronma, Sky, VXJSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Loki, Acteft, Bacon Bits, Brad from Pod Culture, Bird, The Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Hitstun, Kaijudo, Kazan, Kika, MXC, MXT, Orange Right, Point, Raginator, Shadow Next Gen, Breakman, SJ100, Matt, Tiger Claw, William Murderface, Zappy, and Zeba. That's it. I'm out of here. I get a new PC this week. So I'll be back playing PC games with like a GTX 980. Looking forward to it. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.